Welcome back to Japan Edge for all things Japan, and thank you for tuning in. As always, I aim to explore topics that are currently buzzing while adding historical and cultural perspectives to provide depth. Today, let's dive into the recent real estate developments unfolding in Tokyo. It's all incredibly exciting, each developer with rich history. By the end of this episode, I hope you'll have deeper insights into Tokyo's evolution over the years and get a glimpse of where the city is headed. Now, before we go into the episode, let me introduce you to today's featured music that's running right now and also at the end of this episode. It's a song of a singer-songwriter called Juju, and the song is called Tokyo. Perfect for today's episode. Juju is known for her beautiful jazzy voice, and in fact, she trained herself in New York, hoping to become a jazz singer. Okay, with that, let's get started. Today, I want to delve into the competitive landscape of Tokyo's real estate development, highlighting key developers, their history, their unique expertise, and how they have shaped the city of Tokyo. As I discussed in my previous episode on population issues in Japan, Tokyo has over 14 million residents, alongside a steady stream of tourists from both domestic and international cities. So, this city represents a substantial market in every aspect. While cities like San Francisco are seeing a decline in physical stores and empty streets, Tokyo and its neighboring cities are seeing a complete opposite picture. Urban development is booming, and this trend shows no signs of slowing down. With numerous large-scale developments expected to be completed by 2027 and 2028, we will be seeing a continuous wave of new buildings and renovations over the next 4 to 5 years. I want to focus today on four key players in the game, and by doing so, I hope to provide you with a deeper understanding of Tokyo's business dynamics, which hopefully would make sightseeing and even shopping more interesting for you. The four are Mitsubishi Estate, Mori Building, Tokyu Group, and Japan Railway East. First, Mitsubishi. Those of you who are familiar with Japanese economy or business may have heard of the Mitsubishi name in various scenes. Mitsubishi UFJ Bank, Mitsubishi Electronics, Mitsubishi Motors, and many more. Well, they basically cover pretty much all of the industries that exist. And today's focus is Mitsubishi Estate, their real estate arm. The roots of the Mitsubishi Group, trace back to 1870 when its founder, Yataro Iwasaki, established a shipping company. Now, this was 2 years after the end of the Edo period and the beginning of the Meiji era, and Japan had just opened its doors to international trade, marking a new era of international commerce. Yataro Iwasaki was a successful businessman with significant economic and political influence. His younger brother, Yanosuke, took over the company after his death and expanded the Mitsubishi business empire, diversifying their ventures. One of the many initiatives that Yanosuke undertook was the acquisition of a land of Marunouchi, close to the Imperial Palace. Now, this was because the government needed money to build up the national army, and they turned to the Mitsubishi family for help. Upon government request, Yanosuke acquired over 330,000 square meters of the land of Marunouchi and what is now the entire area around Tokyo Station. Now, this part of Tokyo wasn't developed at all during this time, and people thought that that was the stupidest decision ever. But Yanosuke saw the potential for growth, and he held a vision of turning this area into a main business center. He constructed red brick buildings inspired by the financial district of London. And with the inauguration of Tokyo Station in 1912 and the subsequent development of the public train transportation system, Marunouchi emerged as the epicenter of Tokyo. Marunouchi Building was established in 1923 as the most modern building at the time. And we still have this building, Marunouchi Building, in front of Tokyo Station today. So I think by now you could pretty much guess that Marunouchi area, the Tokyo Station area, is Mitsubishi's turf. And the facade, the ambience speak Mitsubishi. You will notice that many buildings surrounding Tokyo Station use red bricks, most notably Tokyo Station itself. And the shopping alley of Marunouchi is a brick-paved road, inheriting Mitsubishi's history. The shops, restaurants, and cafes are all refined, classic, conservative, elegant. And it's obvious they are targeting business people and residents living in Marunouchi area. And Mitsubishi Estate has announced their new Torch Project, a large-scale, mixed-use real estate development on the eastern precinct of Tokyo Station. It is scheduled for completion in 2028. The site will have a 330-meter-high torch tower as its symbol, which will be the highest building in Japan. This iconic structure will anchor a trio of towers, including the renovated Tokiwabashi Tower and the Zenigamecho Tower, all of which will be connected to Marunouchi Metro Station. The torch area will also welcome the Dorchester Hotel, its first presence in Japan. In their press release, Mitsubishi Estate announced the concept of the Torch as work-life integration, combining commercial facilities, convention halls, modern offices, and residential spaces. Their emphasis is on creating new lifestyle paradigm that combines professional and personal lives. Now, this is very Mitsubishi. I, myself, is very much looking forward to the transformative impact this could have to the Tokyo lifestyle. Moving on to the next important developer, Mori Building. Anybody who has had some familiarity with Japan has probably heard of Roppongi. Well, the Roppongi district and its surrounding is the domain of Mori Building. Mori Building dominates the real estate development of Minatoku, or Minato City, one of the 23 inner cities within Tokyo. And Minato City is considered as one of the most affluent areas within Tokyo. Their most famous buildings are Roppongi Hills, Akasaka Arc Hills, Omotesando Hills, Toranomon Hills, and the one that just opened last November, Azabudai Hills. So you can see that almost all of Mori's facilities have hill in their names. When Japanese hear Mori Building, two words spring to mind: office towers and luxury retailing. And as with Mitsubishi, this is rooted in their history. Mori was established in 1955 in Shinbashi, a business district only two stations away from Tokyo Station. Their beginning was pretty humble. They started with just two office buildings in the area, but those two laid down the tracks for what was to come. What set Mori apart from the start was their move to get international companies as tenants. A French perfume brand here, an Indian telecom giant there, and even the U.S. Wheat Producers Association. Talk about a diverse crowd of tenants. This move not only gave them a cool international vibe, but also boosted their reputation as a prominent player in the real estate game. Now, fast forward to 1986, they made their mark again, this time with Ark Hills in Akasaka, their first Hills building. It quickly became the favorite for many international financial corporations, turning it into one of the major financial buildings in Tokyo. Plus, they opened Suntory Hall the same year, which is the most prestigious classical music venue in Japan, equivalent of Carnegie Hall in New York, just to give you an idea. Mori Building has restricted their domain primarily to Minato City, and that is only natural considering the fact that Minato City is where many affluent non-Japanese people live, and that most of the international embassies are located in this area. The city matches with Mori's long relationship with the high-end international firms and its reputation as an international-minded developer. Mori's most recent project is Azabudai Hills, located one station away from Roppongi Station. Opened last November, Azabudai Hills is a mixed-use development, but it is truly geared towards an ultra-affluent segment. Full of luxury stores, starting from the international boutiques like Hermes, Cartier, Bulgari, Dior, Bottega Veneta, and a whole bunch of high-end stores with ultra-expensive stuff. This hill also hosts Janu Hotel and Aman Hotel Group, as well as Aman Luxury Residence. And Mori was even successful in making the British School in Tokyo relocate to this area. So the entire area is absolutely refined, very luxury, very international, very Mori. Moving on to the next developer, Tokyu. Tokyu's story is also very interesting and very important in terms of the history of Tokyo's development. Their beginning starts in 1922 as a railway company. But they weren't just about trains. They were a pioneer in combining railway with suburban development. They acquired vast land on Tokyo's western side and went all in on the development, from real estate, sewage system, electricity, to retail. And we're talking about 1930s here. In 1934, they opened their first department store in Shibuya Station. So, the Tokyu Group's expansion symbolized Tokyo's rapid growth, and their properties became the symbols of affluent suburbanites. And all of this is still prevalent in Tokyo today. Areas that Tokyu has developed are, to this day, considered affluent suburban residential areas, kind of like Westchester County in New York or Manhattan Beach area of LA. Now, unlike Mitsubishi, known for its conservatism, and Mori, renowned for its international luxury angle, Shibuya has long stood as an iconic cultural hub for young Japanese. So what does this mean? It underscores Tokyo's greatest asset, its close proximity to trends. Tokyo's office buildings surrounding Shibuya Station are full of cutting-edge IT companies as their tenants. Google Japan, CyberAgent, GMO Internet, and many other Japanese and international IT companies have chosen Shibuya as their headquarters. Now, Tokyu has not, unfortunately, been all that progressive when it came to retailing, but they have learned to take advantage of their regional characteristics, and their new commercial sites are making drastic changes. Just several days ago, on April 17th, they opened a new commercial building called Harakado in Harajuku area. By the way, Harajuku is in Shibuya City. Harajuku Station is only one station away from Shibuya. And in fact, the two districts are not too far away, just about 15 to 20 minute walk. Anyway, I went to Harakado on its grand opening day on the 17th. And let me tell you, they're changing the game big time. From their creative and sustainable-oriented concept to their out-of-the-box brand choices, they're breaking boundaries like it's nobody's business. The lineup is nothing we've seen before in Japan. I mean, CBD shop on the first floor and adult item store on the second, while up-and-coming artists get their spot on the third floor, and a gallery-style community space on the fourth floor. Really, as Tokyo has claimed, this isn't really a retail facility per se, but rather, using their PR words, a place for creating and experiencing new Harajuku culture, a cultural hub that inspires diverse people from all corners of the world. And I think this is true. I think they did a really good job with that. It's a whole new vibe. And personally, it is one of the most exciting things a leading Japanese developer has pulled off, in my view. And Shibuya Glow Up is still not done. So let's wait and see just how epic this part of Tokyo could get. By the way, I've just uploaded my very first vlog on my YouTube channel featuring the grand opening of the new commercial center, Harakado. I would love for you to check it out. You can find the link in the description of this episode. Last but not least, since I mentioned Tokyo, I don't think I could avoid mentioning East Japan Railway, or JR East for short. JR is the company that's operating the main trains like the famous Yamanote Line and the bullet trains, the Shinkansen, that runs from Tokyo to Osaka or Kyoto, and the ones going up north. And like Tokyo, their big and lucrative business is in real estate development along their stations. Just to give you a very brief history of JR, they started off as Japan National Railway, established in 1949, 4 years after the Second World War ended. It was a state-owned entity at the time, responsible for operating the national railway network, but as with many state-run companies, they were plagued with inefficiencies and horrible financial situation, and they were privatized in 1987. Japan National Railway was divided into six regional companies, one of which was the JR East, controlling eastern Japan, primarily the Kanto region where Tokyo is. With the onset of privatization, JR began to diversify its focus beyond railway operations and started taking advantage of their extensive real estate holdings adjacent to its stations. One notable example of this strategy is evident in Shinjuku, where JR owns and operates prominent shopping malls all around Shinjuku Station. Lumine, located within the station building itself, stands as one of the largest shopping centers in Shinjuku with focus on fashion for women. And of course, there are other JR-owned commercial centers in key stations throughout their network. One characteristic that runs through all of them is that they take a lifestyle-oriented approach, featuring a mix of grocery stores and shops offering various lifestyle goods. Now, JR is getting in on the development game too, with major projects underway in places like Shibuya in collaboration with Tokyo and Shinagawa. It's fascinating to think about how these iconic JR stations will evolve in the coming years. I hope you found today's episode enlightening and gave you a deeper understanding of the Tokyo landscape. With so many exciting projects in the works, it's never too late to visit Tokyo. I hope you'll have an opportunity to see for yourself in the near future. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good week and talk to you again next Sunday. Until then, またね。さよなら。